Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, do you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government. Not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Steve Heck joining us now, and not a newbie here to Rush to Reason. Steve, welcome back. How are you doing today, sir?
Thank you very much, John. It's great to be with you. I'm doing fine. Hope you are, too.
Doing very well. I appreciate you joining us. Businessman, writer, film producer, lived and worked in Guatemala. You've been on with us many times. Let's talk about electoral fraud. And by the way, this is something I believe that you're very, have a lot of experience, unfortunately, in this area, given the fact that you've been around the world as much as you have.
Yes, that's true, John, and I hate to say it, but I saw fraud in Guatemala run by Democrats and their deep state partners.
And we do not want this happening. Well, let me just say this, Steve. If we allow this to happen in the United States of America, it'll never look the same.
That's correct. I'm glad you put it that way, because it is happening, and we have to stand up to it. If we don't stand up to it, we lose the country.
All right, so question I think that's not only on my mind, Steve, but I think it's on a lot of folks' mind. I don't even think it matters which side of the spectrum you're on, but I think this is just in the back of a lot of people's minds is how, when, and do they have enough time to get this done?
That I don't think anybody knows. I mean, you hear expert constitutional lawyers talk about it, and it really seems doubtful. I mean, it's really a tremendously well-conceived of plan. I mean, there's no question that this is coordinated. You look at the same thing happening in so many battleground states. You look at the statistics
right.
That tell you that this is a virtual impossibility, that it could have happened this way, that Biden could win, and all these other things just don't coincide with it. So there's no question that there's a fraud. The question is, can you prove it legally in a way that will overturn it?
That's the question.
And give Trump a second term.
That's the question.
And in such a short period of time, it's a really challenging thing. Now, it is conceivable. We can see from the various professionals that comment about it that it could be done. But it requires Republicans to understand what's happening.
Right.
And this thing is not just about this election. It's not between Trump and Biden. It's not between Democrats and Republicans. This is a war for liberty.
Right. Thank you. Yes. Well said.
I see that not enough people understand it, that nothing matters anymore except preserving the Constitution, preserving liberty. And the
But I'm going to stop you real quick, Steve. When you look at, and I talked this last hour about COVID and the hypocrisy of certain politicians and so on, and I believe everything you're saying is correct, although my fear is when you look at how people have turned into sheeple through COVID and literally have been willing to give up every right they've had under the Constitution, all for the quote-unquote matter of safety, which, by the way, it's debatable whether that's even the case or not. But you look at what people have been willing to give up. Do they even care if they have freedom anymore is my question.
Well, that's a good question, and the fact is very simple. If you want security, you can have absolute security, but no freedom. Freedom at the same time.
That's right. There's no freedom with that. That's exactly right. So I am one, and you know me, Steve, I would give up all security to keep freedom because freedom is that important to me. I could care less about security.
Well, I agree. I mean, we can have both. We're good at it. But the what we're losing is the concept and what you're talking about, which is the drive for it. But I believe that that's only in certain places. And remember, the media, the majority of the media are they're owned by, you know, corporations
right.
that want to do business in China. And you see the big tech companies that all have business in China, and they're making excess profits in China, and they don't want Trump's policies to continue. This idea that people are doing this because they hate Trump, nah, it's the policies. And they have to
stop. Yeah, it's what he stands for that they hate, Steve. They can say all day long that they hate Trump, and I believe some actually do, but it, more than that, and I appreciate what you're saying, more than that, they hate what he stands for.
That's correct. And so the socialist, he's an existential threat to the socialist. He's an existential threat to the crony capitalist. Mm-hmm. And so, and to the deep state. So they've all gotten together, and this is a concerted effort. And they're attempting to silence us, and we need that spirit of freedom. We have to oppose this. We have to denounce it, and we have to insist on our rights, and we have to do it now.
So how do we do that in a way to where the other side, and even some that maybe are in the middle, Steve, don't just call guys like you and I the crazies?
Well, they do that on purpose, obviously.
Obviously.
Because they want to silence everybody else. And I congratulate you for being on the air and taking them on. That's important. And how do we do it? Well, first, it starts with awareness.
Yes, agree.
And the awareness is that this is not a battle between Republicans, Democrats, Trump, and Biden. This is a war for liberty. And when you understand that, I mean, they talk about Republican senators. The Republican senators and in the House of Representatives, they have to support what Trump is doing to expose the fraud. They're under huge pressure to accept it and move on. And that's a huge mistake. And they're looking at it, oh, well, we need Trump to help us with Georgia. Because if Trump doesn't help us with Georgia, his supporters don't come out and we lose the Senate. Well, yeah, that's a big thing. Everybody in Georgia needs to get out and vote. If you want to be free, you better vote for Loeffler.
That's right.
and Perdue. But they're concerned about, well, we'd let Trump go, but if we let him go, then he might not help us in Georgia and we'll lose the Senate. What are you, nuts? You're going to lose the country.
Right.
That's what's important.
So, Steve, you've watched through the years how this works in, you know, second and third world countries. If, let's just throw a scenario out, Trump's not successful, we don't overturn any of the election whatsoever, Joe Biden becomes president of the United States, Kamala Harris ends up being the backup quarterback, which in some cases might end up being the actual quarterback. We end up with, in effect, even more socialism than we have today, and we continue down that path. Do you see any kind of a and I hate, I'm not trying to promote this. Anybody out there listening, please don't think this is what I'm trying to promote. I'm not. But do you see any kind of a civil war down the road coming where enough people just say, you know what, I don't care what the election says. I know it was stolen. I'm sick and tired of all this nonsense, and we're going to fight back.
Oh, without a doubt, I see it coming. And here's the reason. If the Democrats control the White House and the Senate and the House, then they have no choice. They must execute their radical program. None of them want Trump's policies to come back. And even if Trump doesn't come back, his policies will come back because they work. And people now understand that they work, which is why Trump got so many more votes from all over the spectrum in the election last month.
Right.
And so they will have to consolidate their hold on power because they know perfectly well that their policies will produce negative results, that they will not win another free election. So they are going to set this thing up where they don't have to ever give up power again, which means they're going to cheat. They're going to pack the Supreme Court.
Right.
And I've seen that stuff before. And Americans can't imagine what that means. It doesn't mean legislating from the bench. It means imposition. You're talking about a totalitarian state. That's what's going to result from Democrats having control now. And there won't be anything to stop them except what you just mentioned. you can't deprive Americans of their freedom. There are still enough of us around.
I agree. Steve, my fear is if what happens, you know, if your scenario plays out, we lose Georgia, you know, we don't end up retaining that, you know, the Democrats get in and basically do everything they want to do, like you just talked about a moment ago. And then one of the first things I believe they try to do is, of course, suppress free speech and take guns away. When you see both of those things start to happen, all hell will break loose.
That's exactly right. And they can't do anything else. Because, look, if they respect freedom of speech, which we've already seen they don't.
They don't.
If they respect freedom of religion, we've already seen they don't.
Right.
And if they want to take away guns, which they've been pretty explicit about that they want to do, they must do that to consolidate their power. If they don't consolidate their power, if they don't abuse it, then they will lose the next election, without a doubt. And they know that. So if we meekly accept this now, we're in trouble. Now, if we have a Republican Senate, then we have a firewall.
That's right. We have a fighting chance at that point.
Right. And then the challenge becomes we must be aware of what's happening. This is a concerted totalitarian assault on the United States, and we need people to speak about it, to talk about it, to educate the public about what's really happening, because there are plenty of people that are supporting Biden right now that don't understand that they're supporting their own demise.
That's right. You are spot on, Steve. Well said. Well, how do folks find out more about your work, Steve, and some of the things you write about and talk about?
Well, I have my website, which is www.impunityobserver.com. There's a lot of material about Guatemala, but it relates to the United States. It always does.
Right.
And, you know, I've been published in the Washington Times, in Fox News, in Daily Caller, BizPak Review. Had a lot of articles there. Helped, I hope, in Florida. I mean, Trump won Florida by a big margin.
Yes, he did.
Due to Hispanics. And those Hispanics voted for Trump because they understand what communism is all about.
That's right.
Americans need to pay attention and understand that.
You are spot on. Steve, I want to leave you with this and just get your opinion, which I think you're already going to. I can already almost say what's going to come out of your mouth next. Do you feel like we as a country are where we're at because we're just spoiled rotten?
Oh, sure. Ronald Reagan said it. You know, every generation is, you're only one generation away from losing your freedom, and we've forgotten that. We've taken it for granted.
Yes.
We don't have proper education, and we need to refocus on what government is supposed to be and what freedom is.
Yep.
And we need to pay attention, and we need to guarantee that that continues, because the Democratic Party has become a totalitarian party.
That's right. Well said. Steve Hecht, always a joy having you. You're welcome anytime. Thank you, sir.
Great, John. It's a pleasure to be with you.
I appreciate
it. Back soon.
Appreciate it very much, sir. Thanks. Steve Hecht, good friend of our program, by the way. Been on many, many times. And, yeah, you can just find him. His last name is spelled H-E-C-H-T. Steve Hecht, really appreciate him. Extreme Auto Repair coming up next, folks. And if you need your vehicle, anything done to the vehicle, I should say, service-wise, as we head into the Christmas season here, which is only about three and a half weeks away or so, not that far. Anything you need. Don't forget, now until December 13th, there's another Cooper Tire rebate that you can participate in. And they've got their free tow special going on right now as well. So find them at klzradio.com. That's the best way to find Extreme Auto Repair, or call 303-841-1071.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong. Extreme Auto Repair will honor your service contract. Unlike most independent shops, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership's service contract. Promises kept.
Franktown Firearms, if you're interested in buying a firearm, a lot of what we just talked about with Steve Hecht, you know, exercising that Second Amendment right. Feel free to do so at Franktown Firearms. They've got a good inventory of not only guns, ammo, but they can train you as well. Find them at klzradio.com or call 720-770-7777.
The team at Franktown Firearms designed their indoor shooting range to be an oasis from the outside world where you can relax, unwind, and blow off a little steam. They've worked hard to keep their shelves stocked and prices low so they can provide a welcoming place to practice, learn, and take a break for a while. You may be seeing wiped out shelves everywhere else, but not at Franktown Firearms. The team at Franktown Firearms want to help you become an educated, well-trained, confident shooter. So they make sure you have everything you need to practice, including ammo. Buy a gun at Franktown, and they will have ammo for you to train with at a fair price. As a member of Franktown Firearms, you can reserve lane time 7 days a week, including after hours, so you can come by after work. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/Franktown. Mention Rush to Reason for a discount on your initiation fee. Franktown Firearms. Save money. Get treated well.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. I want to talk a little bit about the PPP loan, the loan program that happened, oh, what was it, this last spring, where it was its intention was, and by the way, I'm not saying that it was put out correctly or incorrectly. It is what it is. And I will just say it that way. I also will tell you that it's something that both sides wanted, both sides felt like was needed. And I'd have to go back and even listen to podcasts back then to tell you whether or not I believed we needed it or not. I will tell you this. I think when we first got into the shutdown and we knew businesses were going to be shut down, in fact, even as a business owner myself, not knowing what was on the other side of all of those shutdowns, yeah, that was a scary time for everybody. And I think when the PPP loan program came out for most businesses and those that were able to apply and actually take advantage of that, I think that was a big relief for a lot of businesses. And do I think it did some good? Yes. Is it without fault? Of course not. But what I'm going to say is be careful when you read news stories like the one I'm going to read you from NBC. That says the release of PPP loan recipients data reveals troubling patterns. And then it goes on to say the Trump Organization and the Kushner companies are major beneficiaries of PPP loans. Now, if you read into the fine print of the actual article, you will find that, their companies received some things out of the PPP loan program, which, if I'm not mistaken, I'd have to go back in time and look and see how many billions that program actually was, but it was a lot of billions of dollars. And if I'm not mistaken, Charlie, I think it was like $800 billion. In fact, could you look that up and tell me what the actual PPP loan number was? I think it was around $800. Don't quote me, Charlie, but I think it was $800 and some billion dollars is what the total program was. I'm going to read some things out of this and actually tell you how misleading this news story is. And by the way, I'm not saying that the Trumps or Kushners were right, wrong, or otherwise for taking these loans. I'm just going to give you the reality of what these things actually mean, the real numbers. The loans to Trump and Kushner properties included a $2.1 million loan to the Trumpy Restaurant Corporation at the Trump International Hotel and Tower in New York City. The company reported the money didn't go to keeping jobs that later closed, which, by the way, that's exactly what could happen. Now, whether or not they get forgiveness or not, given the fact they didn't keep any jobs, that will come up in the financing and how that worked and whether or not they can actually get loan forgiveness. Keep in mind, these were loans. Not all of them will be forgiven. Oh, Charlie says $970 billion. You could be right, Charlie. I thought it was around 800 and some, so 970, Charlie says. So almost a trillion because we had an add-on, so almost $1 trillion. There was a company called LB City Inc., which is at Kushner's Bungalow Hotel in Long Beach. They received a loan for $505,000, and they used it to keep 155 jobs, which, by the way, if you do the math on that, $505,000 for 155 jobs, that's actually pretty decent. Okay, nothing wrong with that, by the way. I don't know why that one's a headline here. Two tenants at 725 Fifth Avenue, Trump Tower, received more than $100,000 and kept only three jobs. Okay, well, $100,000 divided by three is like $30,000. Now, again, whether or not they actually get to keep that money in the loan forgiveness part of it or have to pay it back, there's qualifications for that. So that seems really high for three jobs. But again, I'm reading something from NBC News. I don't have the actual facts in front of me. Four tenants at the Kushner-owned 666 Fifth Avenue combined received more than $204,000 and retained six jobs. There are also troubling signs of mismanagement revealed in the data. Over 100 loans were made to companies where no business name was listed, were listed as no name available, or showed potential data entry errors. By the way, 100 loans out of the $970 billion. More than 300 companies appear to have gotten more than $10 million in loans through their subsidiaries, which, by the way, they would have had to have done that through subsidiaries because you couldn't get that much loan amount from the PPP. Businesses were not supposed to receive more than $10 million per entity, except those in the food, hospitality, or hotel industries. My point is this, folks. As you read through some of these stories, please make sure you read the fine print. And just because a particular company received a PPP loan doesn't mean that they will not have to pay said loan back. The forgiveness end of it is just now starting to hit the streets, if you would. In other words, those of us as businesses are just now starting to find what the official application process will be like to actually get loan forgiveness. And believe me, they will be investigated and be determined whether or not you qualify for loan forgiveness or not. If not, you've got to pay the loan back. Now, was it a good deal even if you don't have to, you know, even if you don't get loan forgiveness and you have to pay it back, is it still a good deal as a loan? Yeah, it was a fabulous deal. Did it help keep the economy rolling through all of what we went through with COVID? You know what? I think the facts will tell you that yes, it did. Whether you agree or disagree with the PPP, and some of you listening do, some of you don't. Fact of the matter is, it existed. And did it, in fact, help the economy? I believe that it did. I think you see the numbers even looking at where we're at now compared to where we were even 7 or 8 months ago. I think you can see relatively clearly that, yes, it did help. Should the Trump organizations and the Kushner organizations benefit from a program that is put out by the federal government? I guess I would ask you, why can't they? By the way, the Trump organization nor the Kushners were in Congress formalizing the PPP program, and they didn't sit in the Senate and sign off on it there. It was all done by the House of Representatives and the Senate, which, by the way, has got both sides of the fence there, Democrats and Republicans. Keep in mind, the House leads, or the Democrats lead the House. The Republicans led the Senate at that time, still do to this day. So there's also in this article things that are said like large national banks initially gave loans only to customers with whom they had pre-existing lending relationships. Okay, yeah. So what? It's why I, as a business coach, have always told my clients and did during COVID. And by the way, all of my clients got PPP money. And the reason is because I told them, go get a relationship. Go establish one if you don't have one and make that happen. Why? Because, folks, the business world is it works off of relationships. And if you don't understand that, NBC News, then you're a knucklehead. The whole world works off of relationships. So, yes, if you had a relationship with a bank, you had a pre-existing relationship with a loan officer, of course you probably went higher on the list versus somebody just walking in the door. And by the way, I have no problem with that. That's how the world works. It says here, businesses owned by people of color without strong business relationships. What this should say is businesses owned by people, period, without strong banking relationships, found themselves with limited access. It had nothing to do whether you were of color or not. It came down to, did you have an existing banking relationship or not? Had nothing to do with your nationality, you know, whether you're black, white, or pink with white polka dots. Did you actually have a relationship? So again, NBC News, and given the fact they're so leftist slanted, not slanted, they are the left, they write these stories to make it seem like this whole program was designed to make sure Trump and Kushner benefited, but the blacks didn't. You see where I'm going with this, folks? And nothing could be farther from the truth, by the way. The reality, and it also says, there was also the persistent question of what defined a small business. Well, they defined that. It was in the PPP documents, as when you went to apply for the actual loan itself. And how do I know this? Because not only did I apply, I helped all of my clients do the same thing. This really was, by the way, anybody out there that will tell you that it was a really hard loan to get and they were very selective in who got one and who didn't are lying to you. Because nothing could be farther from the truth. I had a couple of clients that did not have very strong relationships with banks that at the very beginning of this, I made go get a relationship at a bank and thereby ended up with a PPP loan and it worked. So don't let anyone out there tell you that it was hard to get, because it wasn't. What it took was work and effort and putting the time in to make sure that you stayed on top of it and you called your loan officer on a regular basis and you made sure that you came to the top of the list on a routine basis. It's called work, people. W-O-R-K. That's what it came down to. We'll take a break, come back, and talk to my son, Richard. Purefoy Chevrolet is up next. As I said earlier, folks, if you want to see what a C8 Corvette looks like, they actually have one out there you can go see. No, it's not for sale, but you can actually view that car. Why? Because it's mine. You're welcome to go by, take a peek at it, and actually see what a C8 Corvette looks like. And while you're there, look and see at all the other inventory they have new or used at Purefoy Chevrolet. Out in Fort Lupton, it's a short drive. Head out this weekend, even if you'd like, 303-659-8311, or find them at purefoychevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy, and after all these years and hundreds of radio spots on many stations, I still find it hard to convey how I feel about our dealership in Fort Lupton without it being just another 60 seconds of car dealer shtick and hype. Let's face it, there are only so many glowing things I could say about Purefoy Chevrolet, but at the end of the day, does the ad sell cars and trucks? I want and need your business, especially if you're in the market for a new Chevrolet or a decent used vehicle. And really, all I have to offer is a good buying experience that I know is sincerely appreciated and valued by our customers. 60 years in business has taught us many things that makes the difference in doing business. We're not perfect by any means, but we're honest about what we do and have the ethics and integrity to back it up. We have all the same factory rebates and incentives that all the other dealers have to offer, plain and simple. So do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a vehicle or need reliable service, please give us a try. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton or on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Folks, make that part of your house, the kitchen, enchanted, and you do that by calling Enchanted Kitchens, and they will. They'll turn your kitchen into that place. It really is the gathering place that'll function, that'll make it the hangout place, which in a lot of cases it already is. Just make it function accordingly. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-376-7588.
You're at the point where you're tired of living in a kitchen that doesn't work, but you're overwhelmed at the thought of a total redesign. Yes, you'd love a new kitchen that works, but you feel daunted by the process. Here's the good news. By hiring the Enchanted Kitchens design team, not only are you guaranteed a gorgeous, functional, finished product, but you also get to hand over all the stress and uncertainty to a team of professionals who know what they're doing. The design team at Enchanted Kitchens has been doing this long enough to know that every kitchen will run into at least one design challenge. But with a team of experienced designers on your side, you won't need to face those challenges alone. Have a conversation now with the Enchanted Kitchens design team and start talking through the process together. Let them make it work for you. Set up a free, no-obligation consultation at the Experience Center. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, where they can help you with that enchanted kitchen or help you with an investment property or just help you refi what you have existing and save you money at the same time. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers, today. He'll join us in about a half an hour with our Monday Mortgage Minute. But in the meantime, it's 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. My son Richard joining us now. Richard, how are you today?
Oh, doing well. Hey, I'm ready to be done with these early sunsets, which we've only got like, what, 2 weeks left of that?
Yeah, and then we start going the other direction. I'm game for that as well. I look forward, well, yes, let me say it this way. I hate the short days, but I look forward to the day winter comes because then we start going the other direction and we get a little more daylight.
Exactly. And then it's kind of weird. It seems like it happens in the middle of winter, but we really kind of have January, February, and then part of March goes. But then again, you never know in Colorado. It's, you know, 60 degrees today in December.
So. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, which, honestly, I would rather have this than have it be 30 and no snow.
But exactly, I'd much rather have it to be warm and nice, or cold and snowy. One of the two. Not cold and sunny though. Those are just no fun.
All right, so I got a question for you, and I know we're going to talk sports and do some other things, but there were some headlines that I even read while I was on vacation, and then happened to actually read them again today. And headlines in Yahoo News: in one kick, Sarah Fuller became an inspiration, and her role models noticed. And I guess maybe I'll let you fill in on who Sarah Fuller actually is. But to me, this is, and frankly, I just think it's a lot to do about nothing. Big stinking deal.
100%. So for folks that don't know, Sarah Fuller is a player, is a women's soccer player at the University of Vanderbilt there in Tennessee. They're an SEC school. They do not have a very good football team. So they have a really good women's soccer team. They don't have a men's soccer team. Let's point that out real quick. And so most of their players, essentially everyone was home for Thanksgiving break, because a lot of these universities are doing that, where, you know, they're sending everyone home and keeping them home, you know, till essentially after Christmas, and then probably bringing everyone back after Christmas. So anyway, so the SEC, the women's soccer team, she's a goalie. She's 6'2". She's got a pretty good leg. She's a really good soccer player, it seems, from what I've read and what I've seen. But anyways, the Vanderbilt kicker, I think, had some issues. I don't know if it was an injury or some COVID situation. I think it was COVID related, and so they didn't have a kicker. Well, they did. They had the punter, and most punters in college, Dad,
are not kickers. At least,
sometimes they are, actually, and then they can actually do both. But typically, a punter is going to punt, a kicker is going to kick.
Right.
But in a lot of cases, a punter could kick halfway decently. Same with a kicker, right? They probably could get you through a short spell, but
right,
different motions, all that. Anyway, so they get to it, and basically, they are trying to figure out how to get it. Well, how to do a kicker, and they had some guys try out on the team that said they were kickers before. They couldn't do it. Long story short, they plucked this gal out of the soccer team, essentially called the soccer coach, say, do you have anyone for us? And she says, oh, actually, maybe I do. They get her suited up. She goes in. Vanderbilt is so bad, they don't even get an opportunity to kick off. They don't score any points in the first half. Don't even get close enough for a field goal. And so they basically bring her on in the start of the second half. She does a squib kick, which we'll talk about the difficulties of that here in a second. She does a squib kick, and that's her only action. So she is the first lady to play in a Power 5 game. Now, Power 5, Dad, is how they've done the conferences. You had Katie Hinata, you know, the gal over
right
at CU that kind of caused all the hubbaloo with Gary Barnett back in the day. She never actually played for CU. She transferred to New Mexico. She actually did play there. I think she kicked a few extra points or something like that at one point in time. And then there was another girl as well. So they were group of five. They scored points and played there. But this is the first Power 5 school to have a girl play. So all of that background to say, yes, it's a whole lot to do about nothing. In that, I guess she got up and She gave an impassioned speech at halftime, which I will tell you this, and I'm not saying I was in on any powerhouses or anything like that, but if you have a kicker and that's their only job, I don't care if they're man, woman, whatever it is, and they get up and try to, you know, get in your face and cheer you on.
Rally
all this
the
other nonsense. Yeah, at halftime, it's probably not going to go. So
you're not listening.
I'll be 100% to the honest. You know, that's a quarterback's job or a linebacker, or any other position, except for a punter, kicker, you know, long snapper type of a deal. So you had that. So you kind of had that situation happen, and then she started getting all of these awards. You know, this courage award, and she was special teams player of the week award, and all this stuff. And I think I talked to you about this, and I talked with some other people in my own family, and it's just the biggest bunch of nonsense I've ever seen. Like this, there's speculation. Again, this is a rumor, and obviously nothing's confirmed. Vanderbilt's coach was fired shortly after that. There's speculation that he kind of knew that was coming down the pipe, and so he maybe, you know, brought this lady up in order to get try to save his job. And again, I'm not going to confirm that or anything of the sort. I'm just saying some of the speculation that was going around. But I'll be honest. A lot of people are saying, you know, that they were watching with their daughters, their sisters, and they said, "Oh, you see, I can play football."
No, you
here's
can't.
Here's the thing, though. Well, and here's the thing, Dad. If there was a gal for the women's soccer team, U.S. women's soccer team, Carly. Oh my goodness.
What's her name?
Yeah. Anyway, she actually went to kick and she tried out, I think, for the Eagles or something like that. Anyway, she plays soccer. She actually has pretty good legs. She's kicking 40-yard field goals, all that fun stuff. She could potentially play. She still hasn't been signed, but I think that she could kick potentially in a league. Now, she's not going to have the range a man's going to have, right? She just doesn't naturally have, you know, larger muscles or anything of that sort, right? Where NFL kickers, you know, Brandon McManus for the Broncos yet last night kicked, I think, a 52-yarder, and he had a chance at a 57-yarder, and, you know, all these with, I think, Carly, and I apologize for not knowing her last name, she's probably going to be good between maybe 30 and 40. Now, here's the deal. That's way better than I'll ever be. You know, I am not a kicker.
Yeah,
and
I
will tell you this. Kicking a football is a lot different than kicking a soccer ball. So I will give people credit, you know, where it's due. But this didn't break any barriers or change anything. Football, as much as they want to change it, is still a man's game.
Of course.
And the reason
if you just look at the physical attributes of which, by the way, that's why there's a difference between men and women, which I hope all of us out there listening understand the differences between men and women, not just in bone structure, muscle structure, and so on. But, you know, the reality is, and I'm not trying to be mean or rude or anything along those lines, but I just don't see how any woman, I'm just going to say any woman, could go out on especially a professional field, but even college, at D1 college, but professional especially. You look at how fast and strong those guys are. I just don't see, Richard, how any woman, any way, shape, or form, could ever walk onto a field, take a real solid football hit, and get up afterwards.
And Ellen, that's what I was going to say, Dad, is you go to a 5A football game here in Colorado. And by the way, we are small-time football here, as much as I love the high school kids. When you go to places like Texas, California, Louisiana, you know, you see the violence that is at these larger. I mean, here, folks, let me tell you this. You have, at the NFL level, you have men that are between 250 and 325 pounds that are running 20 to 22 miles an hour and that are running into each other full speed.
Right.
Right? So they are crashing. So, again, I want you to take a car, no airbags, mind you, get in a car, drive 20 miles an hour into someone else who's running 20 miles an hour,
right,
and see the force of that impact.
Right.
That's essentially what you're having happen on the daily. And again, that's not a slight to women. Women can do things that men cannot do. Namely, this is the main one that comes to mind, I'm not going to have a kid.
Me neither.
There's a reason God made it so women can have kids. We don't care. That, I can tell you this. My wife cares for my children in a way that I could not ever imagine.
Right.
and so I can never say that I could ever have a kid because I'm not even going there or experience the pain of childbirth, not in the least. However, I can say this. Women are not meant to throw their body. Men probably aren't either, but we're just dumb enough to do it. Women are not meant to throw their bodies at each other that fast and that
well,
hard.
But, you know, you look at the – and, again, I'm not trying to take anything away from the accomplishment, going on a field, kicking. I mean, I couldn't do what she did, so I'll give her credit where credit's due. But I think the point being is, you didn't hear about anybody else out of the entire weekend of any other field goal kicker or kickoff, you know, place kicker that went on the field, squib kicked a kick, and got any kind of notoriety for it, even though that's what they probably do every single day.
Here's another situation you didn't hear much of. There was a kicker for the Indianapolis Colts, the punter, and he had, I think it was a non-cancerous tumor, or maybe it may have been a cancerous tumor. He had it removed last Tuesday. You didn't hear anything about that hardly, did you?
No, I didn't hear a word about it.
So he was playing football with a cancerous tumor for a period of time. He had surgery. They're hopeful that he would get it.
To me, no offense, that's an accomplishment.
Absolutely it is, and that's a massive, especially if he comes back after that, and you have that happen a whole lot.
And the reason why I'm trying to say this, and I'm not trying to take anything away, by the way, of this particular young gal and what she did and the accomplishment that's there. That's all great, and I'm glad there's peers around her and people that think that she did a great job. And by the way, I'm not trying to take anything away from her. Great, great, did a fabulous job. My point is this, though. You could take, most likely, anybody else that's, you know, to your point, Richard, earlier, the punter, and you could have put him on the field. He probably could have kicked the same ball at the same time in the same way and been just as successful, but you wouldn't have heard a word about it.
100%. And again, here's what they don't want to hear, too. If there had been a men's soccer team, if Vanderbilt had a men's soccer team, they would have likely plucked someone from there before they would have plucked someone from the women's soccer team.
And if they'd done that, this wouldn't have made news.
And it had a lot to do with COVID. There wasn't a lot of other students on campus. A lot of other things there. So just being honest. And the reason I know is because you've seen it happen in the past where a kicker goes down. Again, I had it happen at several of the schools I was at. We had it happen where maybe you even have a kicker, but maybe you've got a really good soccer player. And you just bring him in to try him out. And that's what happened. So, again, no, not to take anything away. I just don't – it's not breaking barriers or anything like that. I'll be honest, Dad, if I have a daughter, I'm probably not going to encourage her to play football.
You know,
she's as fast and everything else as the other kids, and absolutely. But there's a reason you see a lot of these girls that are 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 years old, and maybe they're playing football at that age, but then when they get to high school, you don't see many high school players that are girls.
No, there's a reason for that.
As boys mature and their muscles get bigger and they get faster, it's just too violent of a game.
Right.
And it's too violent for a lot of guys out there. I'll be honest, a lot of parents
I'll close this segment with this. We'll come right back and talk. But it's also why you don't see in wrestling or in boxing or in MMA men fighting women.
You typically do not, but they're trying to change that, but you are 100% correct.
Not going to happen. All right, we'll come right back. Don't go anywhere. Dino's Auto Service is up next, folks. And if you've got to get that vehicle ready for a Christmas trip, which, again, I'm not going to be like all of these elected politicians that tell you not to travel for holidays. I'm going to say go see friends and family and enjoy the holidays and do the things that you need to do because you know what? Family may not always be around and you need to spend time with them. So if you've got the ability to do that and you need some stuff done to the vehicle, go to Gino's Auto Service and get that taken care of. It's ginosautoservice.com. Gino's with a J, 303-794-6700.
Winter is coming quick, and if there's one thing Geno's knows, it's that a well-maintained vehicle performs and lasts, especially during the harsh and sudden Colorado winter weather. Take advantage of Geno's free multi-point inspection before winter arrives. We'll evaluate your vehicle by looking at your fluid levels, belts, hoses, and filters. Any maintenance or repair work on your vehicle comes with a NAPA Peace of Mind warranty, covering parts and labor for 36 months or 36,000 miles. To make your life simpler, Geno's offers loaner vehicles so you can drop your car off and pick up when ready. Geno's continues to service Larry's Automotive customers through NAPA Auto Care, warranting any work you may have had done. If you think your vehicle will benefit from our multi-point inspection, give Geno's a call or go online to schedule an appointment. We're AAA approved and located at Bowles and Platte Canyon in Littleton. Stay safe this winter. Stop in or visit us online at ginosautoservice.com. That's Geno's with a J.
This is Josh with Business Equipment Service. Here's a message from one of our satisfied customers. Sharon says, "Love this company. They have gone above and beyond to respond to our copier and service needs for the past 10 years. If you are looking into purchasing office equipment or need service on equipment you currently have, give us a call at 303-825-5664.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. My son Richard with us. All right, what else you want to talk about, Richard, besides something I didn't think was much of an event?
Well, exactly. So, well, a little bit of a sports recap for folks, since they may not be paying attention too much. The Broncos played last night, played the Chiefs. kind of a moral victory, although I don't know if you can call moral victory in professional sports, Dad. They played hard, just weren't enough. So the last four games will kind of be a referendum to see if Drew Locke is kind of the player that they are expecting him to be. And then you've got some NFL. They've kind of moved some games around, so you've actually got some games going on right now. Another game tonight for Monday Night Football. You've got a game happening tomorrow because you had to move the Ravens and Steelers games because of COVID. I know we talked about that with Andy last week. And so we're kind of coming down to the wire here with a lot of these. You know, it's kind of the last part of the NFL season.
Just
here.
Real quick, does the NFL, do you think the NFL even realizes how badly they've, you know, I shouldn't say they, but do they understand how bad COVID has been for them and their season and what all these dumb restrictions and such has done? Do they see any of that as being a negative effect on them at all?
No, I don't think so, because I think at this point in time they view it as that they're having a season. They're trying to make that season happen at all costs, no matter what happens. And so I don't know if they view it that way, and I think they just view it as, especially with the Broncos and what happened last week with no quarterback, they view it as, I'll be honest, that is the Broncos. You know, if the Chiefs had that happen with Mahomes, we all know the answer. They're not putting Mahomes, you know, basically they're not throwing the Chiefs out there without a quarterback.
Right.
You know, they're too valuable of a product or too big of a product. That's unfortunate for the Broncos right now. They're not a big enough draw. But honestly, Dad, I think the NFL, they're kind of thinking of it, let's get through this season. We're going to lose some money. Maybe, you know, not as much as we had, you know, anticipated, but we're going to kind of do that. And then let's get through this season, get to next season, and then it seems like at least the progress seems to be where they actually are planning on having full stadiums next season. So I think that's been part of it. Although I still can't figure out, Dad, how these teams and a lot of these places are, well, you know, especially here in Colorado, how the Broncos can't have any fans for any of their games. When was the last time, or it would be major news if you thought that COVID was related to a sporting event, right? To a football game and it being spread. But you haven't seen any of that.
No.
Have you?
None.
It's just been kind of normal, right? You know, people are going to the games. They come home, whether they're wearing masks or not, they come home and no major issues, you know, no major spreading of events. So it was nice to see, I'll be honest, as much as I dislike the Chiefs and Chiefs fans, it was nice last night to see they had 16,000 fans. That was great. It actually felt closer to a real football game. And if it's done anything, Dad, I think it's given the NFL the importance, and just teams in general, the importance of having fans in the stands.
Right.
You know, it kind of is an afterthought.
Yeah, that's a great question. Is it giving them a new appreciation for that?
It has to be. There's no other explanation for what's been going on and for what they're, you know, what they've been able to do. They, you know, you've seen essentially home field advantage go away, which is kind of a big deal because, you know, that's part of the advantage of getting the number one seed in the AFC. So real quick, the Steelers are playing right now. They're in a battle with the Chiefs for the number one seed, right? And this year, because how they've changed the playoff, only the number one seed gets a bye, not the top two seeds. Well, here's the deal, Dad. In Pittsburgh, that may not mean much, right? Because they can't have fans there in the great state of Pennsylvania because obviously COVID, you know, doesn't like you more there. Versus if you're Kansas City and you have home field advantage, you'd be able to have 16,000, 20,000 people at every single game.
Wow.
That's a massive advantage.
That's a huge difference.
I don't think people are factoring in. So I think it's an interesting dilemma. And I think, like you said, Dad, I think the NFL is realizing how much the fan matters, which, by the way, you've really kind of seen a lot less of the social justice stuff, haven't you?
Yeah, you have.
The season got started. And so that kind of got turned down a little bit. Because, again, I think the NFL knows, well, they've got a product at home right now. Let's not alienate those fans. And then we've got to get fans back in the stands next season. How are we going to do that?
Yeah.
Again, without alienating everyone else in between, you know?
Well said. All right, I'll let you go with that. And we'll talk to you on Friday for movies. Have a great week.
Sounds good to you.
All right, talk to you soon. That was my son again, Richard Rush. And, we'll talk more sports as we move along here. In the meantime, Bruce Simmons is up next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist. And you may find yourself at a time in your life where if you're 62 years of age or older and you're thinking, you know, it's been tough. Maybe I'm not making the kind of money that I thought I would at this, you know, didn't put enough away for retirement, but you're sitting on all of this equity in your home. Guess what? You can tap into that equity without selling your house and moving. There's a way to do that. Call Bruce today and find out how that would work for you. It's really simple. He's just a phone call away. Find him at klzradio.com. Or for those of you with no internet access, just dial 303-467-7821.
You don't need it now, but you will need it someday. You're still working, and you're not planning on retiring immediately, but you'd like to have cash available for your future. A reverse mortgage line of credit allows you to convert a portion of the value of your home into tax-free liquid money available to you at any time, and you don't need to use it right away. KLZ's local reverse mortgage specialist, Bruce Simmons, has been hearing from homeowners 62 years and older who haven't retired yet, but who would like to get a reverse mortgage now while interest rates are still so low. Bruce can help you maximize the amount of money available to you, setting up a line of credit that will continue to grow tax-free until the day you need it. Don't wait until you retire. Plan ahead now so you know you have the money when you need it. Set up a free consultation with Bruce Simmons at klzradio.com/reverse. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Something I'm not sure whether Andy actually covered last week or not, but real quick in this last minute or so of this hour, this came out of the Aspen Daily News last week, and that is that there is a visitor affidavit that goes into effect December 14th. So a week from today. Don't ask me why they have to wait till then to do this, but a visitor affidavit goes into effect December 14th, which basically means that in Pitkin County, you will not be able to go to Pitkin County and be an outsider going there without a negative COVID test. I don't know whether Andy actually talked much about that last week or not, but just as a reminder for those of you that either may have business, you may actually be skiing, you may be doing some other things in the outdoor world, you cannot go to Pitkin County and stay one night or more without actually having a negative COVID test. Now, I don't know what all of the regulations are in regards to going there and eating out or doing anything along those lines or shopping or whatever the case may be, and why staying the night makes a big difference versus just going up there and shopping or going up there and hanging out. Again, I don't know, folks. I don't understand what a lot of these elected officials, I keep using that word, what these elected politicians keep thinking when they limit your ability to go someplace because of COVID. It really is, in my opinion, one of the dumbest things an area can do. All you're literally doing is telling people, stay away. We don't want you here. We don't need you here. And our merchants don't care that you're here, which I've got to believe if you talk to the merchants, they would probably tell you something different than that. But yeah, in Pitkin County, just so you all know, if you're going to go up there after December 14th, you have to have a negative COVID test or you cannot stay a night or more unless you actually have that done on the front side. And I'm sure there's a way that that actually happens in a particular test even that you probably have to even take to make that happen. All right, hour number three is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We'll get an update from Kurt Rogers on our Monday Mortgage Minute in just a minute. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.